Hi everyone, my name is Katie Hess, and I'm here today from United Indians of All Tribes Foundation in Seattle, and I'll be presenting with Dr. Myra Parker from the University of Washington. So the title of our presentation is Developing Cultural Enhancements for a Home Visiting Program Based in an Urban Indian Community. We have no financial disclosures or relationships to disclose. So I'm just going to start with a little overview for you of our organization and our program. I work for a community-based organization called United Indians of All Tribes Foundation in Seattle. So we're neighbors. We haven't met before. And according to the 2010 census, almost 70% of American Indian Alaskan Natives now live off of the reservations. And in our county, in King County, the Native-only or in-combination population is about 39,000 or 2% of the countywide population. And it's a really diverse group that we serve, approximately 41 tribal groupings or hundreds of individual tribes. And about 3 years ago, we received a grant as a part of the Tribal MCVIE funding, which stands for the Maternal and Infant Early Childhood Home Visiting Program. So we are part of the national expansion of home visiting programs, and there are, I think, 26 tribal grantees, and then most of the states are also expanding their home visiting programs. And it's a 5-year grant. In the first year, we conducted a community needs assessment, and we are now developing and implementing a home visiting program for families with children from pregnancy through age 5. And our program is called the Enumakaw Family Program, and we're using an evidence-based curriculum called Parents as Teachers, or PAT. So for Enumakaw, just kind of to give you an idea of our multidimensional goals, at the family level, we're working directly to promote and encourage healthy behaviors. At the program level, our focus is on continuous quality improvement and evaluation. At the community level, we're working towards improved cultural fit and building an evidence base for home visiting. And then at the systems level, we're working on collaboration and advocacy to build and improve the early childhood system.
Hi everyone. I also wanted to mention I'm Manda Nintadatsa from Fort Berthold, North Dakota, and I also wanted to recognize Cammie Goldhammer, who's in the audience, and she's on our advisory board for Enumakaw, so we're really psyched to have an advisory board member here with us today. I just want to talk a little bit about some of the theoretical models that we looked at to develop our enhancements to the intervention. And I'm actually trained in health services. I have my PhD in public health, and my other background is law. And so I am not a clinician, and I don't have any early childhood training. I got into this vis-a-vis sort of a substance abuse focus in my postdoc. And so I helped write this grant, and I'm feeling really privileged to be a part of this, because in program evaluation, it's always ideal to be a part of it from the ground up so that you can help identify the research questions, the evaluation questions, and be a real partner in that whole process. And so I'm really privileged to be a part of this. When we're thinking about early childhood, we're thinking about two child development models that are used in developmental psychology. One is a contextual model, and you may see that this looks a little bit familiar, like a social ecological model. And basically, the idea is that the child operates within these different contexts. So within a parent-child relationship, within a familial setting, within the community, and then eventually through school and peers. And so we thought that that was really important in thinking about developing the enhancement, because our children in King County, our Native children in King County, are not only operating within their family, but then they go out. You know, they have to interact. at the school level and with peers, with folks who probably don't really have a huge awareness about American Indian and Alaska Native cultures, about different cultural norms and expectations. And so there's a real push in tribal early childhood research to kind of understand this whole notion of being multicultural from the perspective of an American Indian child. So there's a lot of expectations there that we're placing on these kids, these really, really young kids, and there's a lot of evaluation of these young children once they reach school level to see, well, what's wrong with them? There's some kind of problem with these children because they're not performing in ways that we want them to perform or that they should perform, or they're not meeting these particular expectations as compared to other groups of children who have already been socialized into the system, perhaps. And so that's kind of the question, and how does that all happen? And we thought it was really important in home visitation, there's an emphasis on school readiness. So we wanted to make sure that what we're thinking about from the evaluation perspective is getting these kids ready to be able to cross those barriers and succeed and have that success academically. The other model that we felt was really important is the regulation model, and this is kind of really an iterative process. So you don't just kind of stay static in terms of, what your experience is and how you relate to your parent or your school or your family or what have you. It's really kind of this cyclical, ongoing process over time. And I think that this model really captures what these kids are going through right now as, very young children and toddlers. And it really takes them all the way through into an academic setting. Oops, okay, got the right button. And so I just wanted to give you a little brief overview about parents as teachers. There are home visitors in this curriculum, and they develop partnerships with parents. And so there's a real emphasis on the relationships that these home visitors build with these families. And that, we felt, was very important in terms of choosing the curriculum that we wanted to fit our population best. When we did our needs assessment, as Katie mentioned earlier, there was a real strong emphasis in our focus group data that suggested that Native families really want to see a Native person coming into their home. They're not super thrilled about bringing somebody into the home in general. There was kind of an interest in maybe meeting off-site, a more neutral setting. And there was a huge concern about feeling judged and being very condescended to or degraded in some way. And so what we wanted was a curriculum that would really kind of address those concerns and those issues that people talked about in the focus group setting. We also wanted to choose something where we could individualize the curriculum, and PAT has that built into the curriculum where you can develop a cultural enhancement. And really that's kind of the assumption that whenever you take PAT into a new community, you're going to make sure that the materials and the information and the folks that you're hiring are going to meet the needs of that particular community. And in addition, the monthly visits or bi-monthly visits were a really good fit for families who are very busy. They may not have transportation, even in the Seattle area and in King County, downtown where they do have access to buses. Transportation is a huge issue, and that came up not only in the focus groups but also in our quantitative survey where families were saying, we just don't have the money. We don't have the resources to travel from here to here to here and meet all of these different obligations in order to get access to certain services, including food stamps, everything from housing and food stamps to legal concerns and so on and so forth. And so by kind of being able to deliver it once or twice a month, depending on the needs of the family, we were able to kind of address those issues of these families being operating in these really resource-poor settings and being very, very busy and hard-pressed to make all of their obligations. And then we also wanted to look at it from the cultural perspective and look at what kind of theoretical framework we wanted to develop for our intervention and what is kind of out there. And so we looked at the Indigenous Stress Coping Model, which was brought forward by Karina Walters, one of my mentors at the Indigenous Wellness Research Institute in Seattle's, University of Washington School of Public Health. School of Social Work. I have too many affiliations here in my head. And so what we wanted to note is that Native folks have issues concerning, you know, historical trauma and stressors that lead back to, you know, diminished social and political capital. And so there are these stressors. The idea in this model is that if you're undergoing all these stressors, then hopefully there's some kind of positive coping mechanism that they have access to in order to reduce the negative effects of these stressors. And so that's what we're hoping to provide in this particular program, is to these families, to support them and support what they're trying to do in raising their children and promoting the resilience that is really essential to ensure that not only there's a healthy family, but also the child is able to perform in school and go on to other success and progress. And so one of the really interesting things that came out of our focus groups was that we interviewed Native youth in Seattle, and they really felt like culture was really, really important in order to have that tie back to their home community, and they didn't necessarily have that, and they really wanted it. They really yearned for it. There were some teens who said, you know, we don't have an Indian name. We don't know, you know, how to get one. We don't have a grandparent who's really close by. And so they really wanted to have these connections, and we felt it was really critical to incorporate that into the intervention and make sure that even though, you know, everybody's from all these really diverse tribes, there are some commonalities that sort of run through these Native communities that maybe we can tap into and help promote that kind of enculturation as much as we can in this urban setting, this very diverse urban setting. So enculturation is sort of a measure of your identity. So in terms of how do these folks identify themselves as American Indian or Alaska Native, and in particular from the tribes, that they're from. In terms of the cultural enhancements, we looked at an article by Ringwalt and Bliss, and we have a really great qualitative consultant, Sarah J. Sanford, who works with us, and she did a really wonderful literature review in looking at kind of how this looks in terms of cultural enhancements in Indian country and how can we think about it in an urban setting. And so we kind of split it up into two areas. There's sort of surface level enhancements, and then there's deep structure enhancements. And when you look at the surface level, that's kind of basically, you know, pretty straightforward. What you see, you know, is sort of what you get. And there have been some comments in other presentations, like that's sort of like putting a feather on it, you know, and saying, okay, it's Native now. Well, we don't want to just do that. We want to actually make sure that the content is reflective of the many diverse cultures that are represented in Seattle. And so we also recognize that we wanted to not only provide Native foods and, you know, Native style incentives, you know, if that's blankets or, you know, what have you, but we also wanted to provide training to our home visitors to make sure that they were culturally competent and able to kind of make these different transitions across cultures very easily, and also provide group connections that are rooted in local and perhaps even broader cultural activities. So, for example, a lot of the tribes in the area go clamming, and we could easily take a group out on a monthly basis to do that and to kind of build in some storytelling and some different types of activities to have that buy-in. And then the other issue are the individual visits, and that's kind of really the meat of our adaptation or our enhancement, as Katie will talk about a little bit later. We wanted to make sure that we have the PAT curriculum, which is set. You know, really it's thicker than that. There's, you know, all of these different handouts for every developmental stage and, you know, all these different issues. But we really wanted to make sure that we supplemented that information so that we could not only cover, the importance of immunizations, but also maybe cover some of the historical concerns that Native people have had around immunizations and sort of make that connection for families so that they can kind of maybe find a way to feel more comfortable about thinking about getting their child in there to get immunized or maybe, you know, in some other way, whatever makes sense for that particular family. I know I'm talking really fast. I feel like we have a lot of material to go through, so please do stop me if you have a question that I'm not skipping, or make sure I'm not skipping something. So in terms of the group connections, like I said, we'll include some storytelling, we'll include some field trips. There's huckleberries nearby. There's definitely, you know, drum groups that can come through and participate with the kids. And for a lot of these children, it's really age appropriate. Our program focuses on 0 to 3, but it goes up to 5. And so that toddler age group, I mean, I was just sitting with my nephew yesterday, actually, and he's about 1.5 years, and here he is, you know, banging on his little drum and pretending like he's singing, you know, because that's what he and his dad do together, and they have that kind of bond, you know. And so what we're hoping to do is to really bring that to these families who might not have that kind of exposure, you know, who might not have that kind of experience to replicate in their own particular family. In addition to that, there are some really wonderful folks who are doing sweat lodges, naming ceremonies, graduation ceremonies, and different types of things like that that we can make connections with and bring into our monthly group connections. And then we're blessed in the Seattle area because the tribes are really, really close, and there are a lot of different multicultural activities, in particular the canoe journey. They are, you know, coming through the Seattle area every summer, and so there's a lot of connections with the local tribes where we can hopefully bring some families out there and have an opportunity to kind of really see what's going on, you know, with this canoe journey. I mean, I'm from, you know, totally landlocked tribe, and, you know, we had bull boats on the Missouri River, but it's really nothing compared to traversing, you know, hundreds of miles of open sea in these canoes. And my daughter was able to participate in a small kind of mini science camp where they took kids out in sort of a little mini canoe journey, and it just really blew her mind and really changed the way she thought about the area and the tribes there and really broadened her awareness. And so that's kind of what we're hoping for with even the little small children. And so I mentioned this, you know, there are 8 additional modules that are sort of optional under the PAT curriculum. And what we're hoping to do is take those 8 modules and really define them. And this is, in the PAT curriculum, they say, well, you want to work with your family to identify the content for these 8 optional, not really optional, but there are 8 modules. And what we're hoping to do, though, is to identify specific areas based on our needs assessment and all of the information that we got in our focus groups to talk about things that are relevant to this particular Native community. And so folks brought up issues like substance abuse, child abuse, and neglect, domestic violence, issues that we thought perhaps people wouldn't be all that interested in talking about, but in our data, what they said was that they really felt it was important to be able to talk about these really kind of difficult subjects. And so, you know, I'm running over, so I'll kind of skip through some of these. And then we kind of settled on this evaluation question, and as Cami can attest to, we talked with our community advisory board, and they were really adamant that everybody should get something. And so what we're hoping to do is to kind of look at the difference between the folks who get the surface level enhancements versus the folks who get the deep structure enhancements and kind of better understand, is there a difference between those groups in the areas of confidence and parenting skills, program engagement, in terms of, you know, participation in the monthly activities, and also program retention, which is a huge issue in home visitation as well as other types of interventions, which, you know, really want to make sure that people are actually staying in these particular programs.
So we're pretty much out of time, but what we had intended to do is walk you through an example of one of the modules that we would be modifying. But instead, I'll just lay out for you the framework we'll be using. Using our needs assessment, we plan to identify areas of content that we think are a priority within the community we work with. And we will develop supplementary curriculum content based on input and on the available literature on each of those topic areas. And then we will review that content with an early education expert panel, revise, review with focus groups from the community, and then revise again. So it really should give us a pretty concrete idea of what we think will work with families. And I'm really sorry, but we're out of time. So thank you.
I want to say thank you to our presenters. We do have a few minutes if anyone has any questions for any of our presenters. No questions? Yes?
Actually, that's one of the, at their last public health conferences where we collected some of the data. And there's little pockets of interest, and nobody's really making any progress forward yet. But, you know, I hope it doesn't become a competition. I hope we can find some way to unite everybody who's got interest and skills and in looking at this process can come together.
Any other questions?
I actually want to, it's not a question, I want to make a plug, actually.
Okay.
It's not actually a plug, it's a thought process. But I'm listening to these different discussions and some of them overlapping in similar communities and the issue that we're all facing with funding issues. I am wondering about working together across health issues rather than siloed into specific ones, and how these could work simultaneously for whole families, whole communities, rather than specific disease issues. And so I just want to put that out there that we should keep thinking about this, because I think this is a way that we can get around some of this funding issue, but we need to work collaboratively on this and move a little bit away from some of the stuff that we've been doing. So.
Great, thank you guys for coming and for supporting the caucus as well. Thanks.